to our wonderful speaker tonight. Guys, give a warm welcome to Ryan von Trager.
Around the room of how we're feeling tonight. Are we feeling good?
Amazing.
I hear an amazing. I hear a few, yeah. All right, that's you know what? That's actually good enough for me. All right, let's just close our eyes for a little bit. And tonight I'm talking about the presence of God and the value that has to us. And It's kind of part of our theme for the new year as far as like, the theme just escaped me. Going after your presence to expand your kingdom is my rough telling of it. And I really think that it would be a great thing just to start off by focusing on God and just inviting his manifest presence to enter the room with us tonight. So Father, We invite you. We invite your presence. We invite everything that comes with that. Papa, we want to know you tonight. We want to experience you. And Father, I just ask that you would come and that you would meet with us. And Father, that our hearts would come to know your heart better. Father, that we would just come to know who you are more and more. Lord, that there would be a connection from your spirit to ours. Yeah, amen. All right, that's a great start. I'm not going to lie, that's a great start. I'm going to do something that typically speakers aren't really supposed to do, and that is let you know that I'm lacking a little bit in some confidence. And it's not confidence in what I have to say, because what I have to say is really awesome and really good. But it's in how I'm going to say it, because I went over my sermon quite a few times, and every single time it ended up very, very, very different. But it is going to be good, because really the whole point of what I get to do today is to stand up here and tell you how awesome my daddy is. And that is something that is always quite fun and amazing for me. The presence of God. I also ended up making up some really nice notes, and then due to various IT issues, I didn't get them printed yesterday due to office lockage and various things like that. So I'm doing it on here. So if I come to my computer, actually don't even worry, if I come to my computer, it'll just happen. I think I'm just going to start off by telling you guys about David. And how many of you know who King David is? Okay. How many of you know him as the little kid who threw a stone at a giant and the giant fell down? How many of you know of him as like the king who was not the first king, but like the greatest king that in Israel's history? Okay. How many of you know of him as being the man in the Bible who God says was after his own heart? Yeah. Yeah. See, we had some enthusiasm with that one. I like that. Because that's kind of what the whole point of my talk is we want to be like David. Our whole theme for the day, for the year, about seeking after God's presence for his kingdom, can really be summed up in the life of David. Because David so knew the Father because he spent his time in his presence. And he so enjoyed and rejoiced in the presence of God, like, all the time. It was part of his lifestyle. That when he was a little boy, he grew in it because he had that time in the presence of God. And then when he grew old and God called him to great things, it was just second nature to him. And, well, that's really not the direction I was going to go with that, but we're going to keep going with it. When we spend time in the presence of God, when we seek after Him and we get in tune with His heart, it does prepare us for the impossible. It prepares us for the things that we would run away from if we were to come against it in our own power, in our own glory. Well, our own glory. Our own glory is nothing. But when we seek out the presence of God, we can do anything. And the reason why we can do anything is because the things that we do are the things that are in God's heart. I really love silence. I wasn't really joking. I really love silence. It's a big thing sometimes. I think that if there's... God, I just went down that rabbit trail and I really don't know how to get back. I'm going to read Psalm 27. Because this is a psalm that really, I think, sums up the heart of David. I'm going to read it in the New King James, and I'm probably going to skip through parts of it. The Lord is my light, and He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come up against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. For in time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When You said, seek my face, my heart said, Your face, Lord, I will seek. And I think that right there says it best. When you said, seek my face, my heart, it responded, and it said, Lord, Your face is what I will seek. And that's where the heart of David really was. And I know I kind of went on that rabbit trail at the beginning about how there's so many amazing things that we can do, and there's so many amazing things that God has for us, and there's so many impossible plans that God has for us, because He is our Father, because He has dreams that go beyond anything that we can come up with. Yet at the same time, David's heart really wasn't to seek after God because he wanted to be king. It wasn't to seek after God because he was wanting something specific. He was seeking after God because God was what he wanted. And so when God says, even now to us, seek my face, our hearts, even if we don't necessarily think that they do, their response say, yes, I will seek your face. And sometimes it's a matter of making our heads align with our hearts and with our spirits. And there are some very, very great ways that we can do that. But all of them come back to that realization and that agreement that, yes, Lord, I will choose to seek your face. And I love the presence of God because it's so amazing. And to seek out God is really, I mean, I realize I've just said this, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it in every way, because when your heart connects with God's heart, that's when you get life. Because that's what you were designed for, that's what you were built for. And so when we seek after the presence of God, I mean, it really is what our lives are about. And it's an amazing thing. But there's a cost to it when we do it as well. Because when we go after God's heart, when we go after God's mind, and we say, God, I will seek out you, I will seek what you want, it also means that to do that, to make your mind align with that, you have to be willing to give up your own perspective to take on God's perspective. Because that's part of the transfer that happens. And if you go to God and you say, God, I really want you, I really want you, but you come clinging to your own ideas and your own desires, then you have to let go of the one to grab the other. And so there is a cost that goes with it. There can be a lot of different costs. You can give up time. I think that's probably the number one thing that I struggle with, and it's probably the number one thing that a lot of us struggle with, is actually taking time out of your day and being like, God, this is something that I give to you. I set it apart. It's for you. And that's definitely a hard thing, especially for those of us who are busy. I feel kind of silly saying that I'm a guy who has a problem with that, because reality of it is I'm an intern who doesn't have a job and doesn't have a social life. Well, that's not true. I have a social life, but it's like contained within one building, like 80% of my life, which is okay, though. It's okay, but I mean, the reality of it is I say I don't have time to do things, but I get done with work, and then I sit with people and do nothing all night. But, like, I know that for a lot of you guys, you have jobs, you have things you need to do, you need to do your shopping, you need to do your laundry, you need to do your homework. If you're in school, university, it takes up a lot of time. But if you say to God, you are worth giving up some time, and it can be between you and God what that is. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, it can be an hour, it can be 3 hours. But if you make that decision to give up that time, God is faithful to that. Like, God loves so much when we go chasing after him. Like, I don't think you guys sometimes realize that his heart is for you. Like, when he's just sitting there waiting for you to give him that time, because all he wants is that same connection that I was talking about a little earlier, that heart-to-heart connection. It brings him such joy because he is such an amazing father and such an amazing who wants nothing but good for you, and he knows that he is the best.
That's good.
That's good.
Come on.
So there's time, and then there's letting go of your own perspective, which I kind of hit on lightly. And I think I'm going to hit it again just because I think that's a really good point. It is. Like, when you're spending time with God, you need to be willing to give up your own mindset. Because your own mindset is a human mindset. And as much as humans are made amazingly in the image of God, if God has a mindset that's different than yours, I can give you one guess as to whose mindset is right and whose is wrong.
Yeah.
I think one of the main questions that kind of goes along with all of this is, how do you really seek after the presence of God? Because I keep telling you how amazing it is and how awesome it is, and I could keep going around in circles doing that, but if you haven't experienced it, like, you don't know. If you have experienced it, you're like, yes, yes, I agree, that's awesome. But if you haven't experienced it, you don't know. And like I said, taking time out is an important thing. And what you do at that time, well, really, it's between you and God. I have some suggestions for you, which may or may not respond to you. And by that, I mean you may or may not respond to it. And by that, I mean that God is faithful no matter what, but something may rise up within you that says, yes, that's what I need to do. And that is a good thing. Sometimes, just simply taking time and talking with God is the most amazing thing that you can do. I know that if you don't have like time where you do that already, it can be really weird to suddenly be like, oh, hey God, how's it going? And then you sit there. And then you sit there and you're like, All right, thanks for responding, God. That's amazing. But the reality of it is that even if you don't hear an audible voice speaking back, even if you don't hear thoughts in your mind right away of what God is saying in return, He's still listening. And it's such a hard thing sometimes to learn to actually hear what God's voice is. But when you, like I said, God is faithful and He wants to connect with you. And when you take that step to respond and you say, yes, God, I'm going to take this time out, I'm going to talk with you. And just talk with Him. Let Him know how you feel. Just tell Him what's going on in your life. And then, this is the most challenging part, wait. Yeah. Sit there and wait and just be like, God, if you have something to say in return, say it. And don't just wait 5 seconds. Don't just wait 30 seconds. Don't even just wait 5 minutes. Like, take time and just wait. And focus. Just focus on God. And I will promise you that even if you don't hear anything specific, God will respond, and you will know that He's responding, because He is faithful and He's good. And that is how I can make that promise to you, because I know it. Sometimes for me, it's just simply as easy as putting on a quiet worship CD and sitting and soaking. Which, I know that's something that we like to push a lot at Catch the Fire, soaking. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's a great time to just sit there and soak in what God has without putting your own mind in the way. And that, like, there are some points in my life where I can tell you that there's been, it takes everything in me to not just run into a corner, put on a CD, and just sit there, because I love just the way that God will come. And like, instantly I'm just like, oh God, you hear this? This is amazing. And then just let Him talk to me. And anytime I'm feeling super stressed out, I know, and I can tell you that it's because I haven't been to that place. I haven't been to that place recently. Because that is where so much of the life that I have comes from. And so sometimes just worshiping God, just sitting and soaking and being still. Another great way to really just connect with God sometimes is to ask Holy Spirit to give you revelation as you sit and read the Bible. There's so much good stuff in the Bible. That reading like the words of Jesus in the Gospels is such an amazing eye-opening thing, especially when you ask God to show you what's going on. Good. Ryan, that's really good. That's really good. John. Thank you, So we as a campus, we as a church, as Catch the Fire, and yeah. I'm just going to say this, is kind of slightly off topic, but just because I'm feeling about it quite a bit, this is my church. Thank you guys. You guys are all awesome. And that means a lot to me. But we as a church are committing to this idea of seeking after the presence of God. And I think that really says something about the heart of our leaders and the heart of us as individuals who come under these leaders. And yeah, so in closing, I just want to really, I say in closing, we're not really closing because we're going to push in, because that's really what I feel like we need to be doing tonight. And I really want us all just to join in as one, as a church, as a campus, and really just tell God, we want your presence. We want our church services to be based around the fact that you come and that you move in ways that we can't understand. We want you to come because you are the reason that we're here. We want you to come because everything that we do is based upon worshiping you and loving you and serving you and having connection with you and knowing who you are as a son and as a daughter and as a father. So you guys want to stand up? I'm just going to lead us in a corporate prayer so you guys can just repeat after me. Father, we come to you tonight. And we commit ourselves to seeking after your presence. We're seeking after your face. We commit ourselves to you. And we say as a church, that there will be no higher calling than being with you. So Father, I just pray that you would come, that you would just come tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill this room, Father, that you would touch those who have not touched, but you're touching. Father, I pray that for those of us who have known you and have felt you before, Father, that you would just expand upon that love. That you would show us deeper things in you. That you would take us into the deep places of your heart. And Father, when we become comfortable in those deeper places, Father, I ask that you would just take us deeper in. Father, that you would just begin to show us just the tiniest bits of the depth of the eternal God that we serve.